Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you aboard. It is Friday, January 14, 2005, 8 a.m. Central Time on the nose, and we should have a lively show for you here. We're waiting on John Moore to give us a call and looking forward to that. Of course, we're going to talk about some of the things he's been involved with as of late, which is his speaking engagement with the Prophecy Club to talk about Planet X. Now, John Moore, as we all know, has an impeccable background, and his credibility cannot be questioned in my mind. All of his information comes from all the same sources that basically pass our laws, fund our government programs, decide which country we go to war with. So if you're going to dispute their information in one angle, you have to dispute their information on every issue. So keep that in mind. We have such a selective believability factor that's going around saying, well, I'll believe this, but I don't believe that. I don't think you can rule anything out. We're out, this entire world is of God. It is predestined. Our role in this world is predestined. It's the end of us and of this world is predestined. So in that regard, that means all things are of God. So for you to say, well, this can be addressed, but this cannot. We are all pieces of a puzzle. And only upon completion can we see the deeper implications of these things that seemed completely disparate from the overall thing, if that makes any sense. For example, you could say, well, you know, I'm focusing on politics, and I was shocked to learn how, you know, sex slavery ties in with that. And then, you know, of course, once you do see it, you're saying, wow, these look like two completely different issues, and now they're starting to make sense. So it is intriguing, and I'm looking forward to the interview today with our good friend John Moore, and I ask you to keep an open mind in the course of everything that you're going to hear. Now, if you get a chance, he does still have one more speaking engagement taking place today. We'll talk about that. Of course, there's a link to his schedule on our website, which is franklyspeakingradio.com. Check that out. If you can go and attend a person, I think that would be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for all of you to really see the guy in action, and also to meet him in person, which would be great too. But if you don't, if maybe you're far away, or you just can't make it, or you got to do a radio program early in the morning, and you can't make it, keep in mind that there will be a video produced of it at some point, and I'm sure John will have all the information for us here today. So again, the number to interact is 1-800-313-9443, and welcome aboard, all of you. Listening all over the place, of course, online at rbnlive.com. Joining us now on shortwave at 13.570. And I'd like to issue, of course, a big thanks to all of the broadcast outlets that deem the show credible and worthwhile of their airtime and decide to put this show out there because you guys are certainly giving me a much bigger voice than I deserve. But I thank you because there is a truth that needs to be brought out to a wider audience, and that truth supplied by you guys with your calls, supplied by the news that we encounter, and supplied by our wonderful guests who we like to have on for a lengthy period of time. And I believe John is with us. John Moore, welcome to the show, my friend.
Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Welcome.
Okay. I am. Thank you. Good to be here.
Glad to have you, buddy. Big developments, of course, and we have a lot to talk about, but we are almost up to a break. Why don't you give out your information on your final appearance?
Final appearance will be this evening being Friday the 14th of January, in Topeka, Kansas, at the Prophecy Club headquarters. Address, phone number available at my website. That's thelibertyman.com, www.thelibertyman.com.
Outstanding, and of course we have a link on our website to that information. And John, when we come back, I want you to talk about when, if you know. The video will be available for those of us who maybe couldn't get up there to see
okay.
this.
Okay.
Folks, we'll be right back with our guest today, John Moore, and more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.
And now,
do not attempt to adjust your set. This is a streaming freedom bullet. This cannot be traced. It cannot be stopped. And it is the only free voice left in this city.
Frankly Speaking.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Glad to have you aboard with us here this fine Friday morning. And, of course, our guest today, John Moore. We're not going to waste any time because the information is has a sense of immediacy to it. And I think we all feel this. There are big changes happening out and about. And if you get a chance, you are not going to want to miss John Moore's presentation. Of course, his speaking tour is posted on our website and his website as well, which can be linked up through ours at franklyspeakingradio.com or at John's website, thelibertyman.com. And the last one happening tonight in Topeka, Kansas, you mentioned, John. We're glad that you made some time for us here today and hope that you have an amazing turnout there.
Well, thank you very much, and it's been quite a week. I've been all over the country to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee, Birmingham, Alabama, and wrapping up this evening in Topeka, Kansas, just outside Kansas City, about a one-hour drive from Kansas City.
That's not bad at all.
Nope.
Now, this video, do they anticipate when it should be ready?
The one I did in October took, I believe, about 6 weeks. They might be on a little bit more fast track with us, giving the sense of urgency, I guess you could say. So possibly 4 weeks. I don't want to be too optimistic. You know, there's some editing that has to be done, and, mm-hmm. and then the duplication, the packaging, and so forth.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Well, John, I'd like to read something real quick, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, please.
Folks, this is a post that I picked up today at Rents's website. It is written by a gal named Sorcha Fayal. I believe she's Russian. And here's what she has to say. She's talking about information she is receiving from her American subscribers about the Western media, meaning here in the U.S., and the way they're presenting these different events, these news broadcasts, talking about what's wrong with Mother Earth and what's going on with the weather. And this is an NBC program. And it says the report talks about different evidence. And then it asks the question, should we be worried? To which they have a NASA scientist named Dr. David Demick saying, quote, the world is not coming to an end. Things are fine. And then, of course, he says all the things happening is there's nothing to suggest that what's happening is unusual. Then the report asks, what about all this wicked weather? To which they have a professor named Dr. Chuck Conner from the University of South Florida who replies, quote, there is no causal relationship there at all. The current bad weather we've been having is not influenced by volcanoes or earthquakes, end quote. Well, then, of course, it goes on to talk about all the different things such as this. John, I think you'll find this interesting. These are just the last few weeks, folks. December 4th, New England region of the U.S. Has a headline that says bright flash lights up the clouds. 3 seconds later comes a boom. December 6th over Australia, it was reported, quote, an eerie constant low rumbling sound accompanied by explosions from fireballs. December 12th from Washington, D.C., has a report that says, quote, it looks like a ball of fire falling out of the sky. December 13th, a report says a fireball lit up the skies of China that, quote, turned night into day. December 16th from the Utah region of the U.S., it was reported, quote, meteor may have fallen into Salt Lake, end quote. December 19th in Indonesia, report headline, quote, meteor suspected amid unexplained sightings and blasts in Indonesia. December 21st, an unknown asteroid Cincinnati 2004 YD5 was discovered flying past the Earth under our satellites. January 5th, in the Wisconsin area of the U.S., a news report says, quote, authorities in north-central Wisconsin received dozens of reports Tuesday evening of bright flashes of light in the sky as from an explosion. They said it likely came from meteor activity, end quote. January 7th, Alaska, a report says, quote, Juneau residents saw a fireball traversing the sky, end quote. January 12th, in India, it was reported, quote, I saw a huge ball of fire in the air. It raced down Earth so fast before I could do anything, end quote. And then she goes on to say that these facts were not presented in this report about the weather and what's going on with the planet because it would have contradicted the American Meteor Society. They have since stated, quote, due to the combination of all of these factors, only a handful of witnessed meteorite falls occur each year. So that means that their official position is that there's nothing unusual. This is par for the course. Happens every year. It just seems worse because it's happening right now. John, your response to that?
Okay, well, there's a number of things to address here. First of all, the scientist is correct when he says the volcanoes and the earthquakes aren't causing the weather. What he's not saying is what's causing the volcanoes and the earthquakes and the weather. So he's kind of doing
deceptive wording.
A little bait and switch there.
Yeah.
our Earth, our planet, is receiving vast amounts of new energy. All our weather is a result of energy we receive from our sun. And that's a given. And I've heard reports also where the meteorologists do say that, and that's accurate to say that all our weather is controlled and caused by energy from our sun. What's obvious to me, and should be obvious to anybody who's taking a look at this, is that our sun is doing some very strange things. And, of course, the next question is, why is it doing these very strange things? My belief and the belief of many of us studying this matter is that our sun is doing these bizarre new things because of a new planetary body coming into our solar system and interacting with our sun, causing it to do the thing it's doing, putting out the energy it's putting out, which it was supposed to achieve solar maximum in the 11-year solar cycle 3 years ago, and we should be 3 years into the downward part of the 11-year cycle. Instead, we're reaching higher and higher levels never before seen. In fact, the instrumentation the scientists set up to measure solar activity can no longer do so because they never dreamed it would go this high. And that's where we are.
That's amazing. I seem to remember reading an article that said we were at an 8,000-year high solar cycle. So that's just, it is truly amazing what is happening.
Now, when it comes to all these meteor strikes,
yeah,
you need to keep in mind that more than two-thirds of the planet is oceans, and there's not people out there observing these things hitting. You know, the strikes that you mentioned, of course, were all land-based. And consequently, we easily are not getting reports of the other two-thirds that are hitting, just because there's no people around us out in the ocean.
That's exactly right, and we've got some headlines here of current weather conditions and things that are happening. We're also getting a huge amount of phone calls. Now, John, as you know, because I passed this on to you, I got an amazing positive response from people who were so excited about the last interview that you had graced us with, and it was on this issue. So a lot of people would say, hey, this is not believable, this isn't credible, this is nonsense. Before we take some calls, and I know you know as well as anybody the way the breaks are structured, we've got a few minutes here. Why don't you address something like that to those who think this is that either A, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, or B, it's not true.
Well, how long do I have?
You got a good 3 minutes.
Okay, how about the Department of Defense report on rapid climate change? I think this is pretty authentic and something I'm flipping through my notes here to get to this little article here. And it was a Department of Defense study that was done in October of 2003. It's titled An Abrupt Climate Change Scenario and Its Implications for United States National Security, October 2003. Now, this is a report commissioned by the United States Defense Department, authored by Mr. Schwartz and Mr. Randall. It says that global warming should be elevated from a scientific debate to a matter of national security. Abrupt climate change may occur in the not-too-distant future, causing longer, harsher winters in North America, massive droughts, turning farmland into dust bowls and forests into ashes. Now, of course, that's just a couple of sentence summary of a multi-page report that talks about climate change being a clear and present danger right now. This is not the National Enquirer. This is the Department of Defense. I mean, how much more mainstream do you want to get? Tony Blair has an article he wrote, not an interview, but an article he wrote in the current issue of the magazine titled The Economist, published in London. And I can quote real quick from Mr. Blair's words, Prime Minister. The temperature rise has meant a rise in sea level. Now, that's current tense, not future tense. The ocean levels are already rising. That is not speculation. That is fact. And here we've got the Prime Minister of England telling us so in a very, very well-respected mainstream news magazine, The Economist, published in London. Have I used my 3 minutes?
Actually, got about a minute left. You're doing pretty good.
Okay.
And we can take more time. We got lots of time, John.
Okay. It says, quoting Tony Blair, "If it continues as predicted, it will mean hundreds of millions of people increasingly at risk from flooding. Climate change means more than warmer weather. Other extreme, increasingly unpredictable weather events, such as rainstorms and droughts, will also have a heavy human and economic cost." This is part of the disinformation, is to create this issue called global warming so that people will be distracted and not know what the real cause is. You're supposed to believe that knucklehead who lives next door to you with his SUV is the cause of global warming. Nothing could be farther from the truth.
Yeah.
The energy coming into this planet, causing what's happening, is far beyond anything that human activity could ever hope to create. And it's absurd to believe that human activity could cause what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting to see how this is twisted around. And we know how they operate, John. They present two sides of the argument, and then they butt heads on it. And then we're supposed to step back and wait to see who wins before we take a position. But, of course, folks, as we all know,
they
control both sides. So it doesn't matter. There will be no resolution. There will be nothing. It will be too late before the truth comes out. So thank God for you, John Moore. And you guys on the phone, we've got Dan, Al, and John. You guys stay with us. We'll take your calls when we return with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Good morning, folks, and welcome back to the big show. Of course, our Friday edition here, Frankly Speaking Radio. Very pleased to have our guest with us, John Moore. Check out his website, thelibertyman.com. And, of course, John has really spent decades worth of research into looking into how to protect yourself on the streets, to protect yourself from, home invasion, things like that, your car, different ways to keep yourself safe, common sense approaches, and some really brilliant insights. His book and his video are outstanding. And of course, the video talking about protecting yourself from terrorists. And really, that's what it's all about, folks, is the burden of responsibility on yourself. Now, John, welcome back, of course. Now, do these things tie in together, what you're talking about in your speaking engagement and what you talk about, what you've been talking about for so long?
We are looking at the possibility of civil disorder and crisis due to these, what we have come to call earth changes, severe weather events, earthquakes, and volcanoes. And anytime the infrastructure is at risk, you certainly have the risk of civil disorder, and that's where my message of preparedness comes in loud and clear. That it needs
Absolutely.
To be paid attention to.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what I really wanted to drive home, and I think you did a great job of making that point, that this does all tie together. It is about preparedness, and it's about personal preparedness rather than depending on anyone to solve the problem for us. So.
Absolutely. In any crisis of a severe nature, 911 will not work. You're on your own. You and your neighbors, your family, you're going to be your own police, fire, and paramedics right there in your little neighborhood, because you won't be able to call for help.
It's a hard reality, but that's exactly what we always try to talk about here on the show and on your show and on the network in general. So let's take a few calls here, John, if you don't mind. Dan,
sure,
in Texas,
sure.
Waiting patiently. Thank you for the call.
John, I'd like your analysis of two issues.
Okay.
China's involvement recently with the deals with Iran, the deals with Venezuela, their purported offer to buy Unocal, and secondly, the FTAA, and why someone like either Lula da Silva or Hugo Chavez would participate in the FTAA.
Well, this is way off subject here. I don't know if we even have time for this, but John, if you want to, feel free to try to get that out.
I am a friend and admirer of Mr. J.R. Nyquist. Jeff Nyquist has, I feel, the best and most in-depth, up-to-the-date geopolitical analysis that you'd ever want to find. And his website, jrnyquist.com, has nothing in there I disagree with. China is positioning itself to become the dominant country in their part of the world, which means they have to defeat us because they're going to take out the government of Taiwan. They fully intend to do that, and they can't do that without compromising our ability to project power in that part of the world. So that's where this is all headed.
Thanks, sir.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Al in Texas, welcome to the show. Al in Texas.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, good to talk to you again. Are we talking? Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, are we talking about the Planet X here as well?
We're supposed to be, yeah.
Okay. Want to find out more about that, and I don't want to interrupt the program, but I need a email address to email you.
I got an email from you that was sent to me, so I'll be responding to that after the show.
Wonderful, and I heard John's program the other night, and it was wonderful, just wonderful stuff. And I'll hang up, and thank you all for the good work.
Hey, thanks so much, Al. We really appreciate it. And, yes, folks, if you've not heard John's show, I strongly encourage you to make time to do that. Will you be doing a show this weekend, John? Or
I'll be in an airport someplace. I've almost forgot where I am. I mean, it's...
I know. I don't know how you're doing that all over the place, different state and city every day.
Give me a 6 a.m. wake-up call and tell me where I am. You know?
Is he coming to Texas?
There's some people in Austin I'm working with, and there's nothing definite yet, so I really can't say.
Well, let's hope so. And
okay.
Y'all have a good day.
Thank you. God bless y'all.
Bye-bye.
You too, Al. Take care. Let's go to John in Alabama. John, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello, Frank. Hello, John.
How are you, sir?
I heard John's lecture the other night. It was packed full of facts. I mean, it was really great, and I urge everyone that can go tonight or whenever your next one is, John, they should go and hear this. It's really tremendous.
Well, thank
you. I took your advice and I did a little search in the internet as to the fact that NASA is still trying to make a space suit that will protect the men from radiation. And as a matter of fact, I found the article that was dated this last summer, May 27th of 2004. Said that the NASA researchers are working hard to find their way around space radiation. So,
right. The Van Allen radiation belt.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Wow.
So much for them going. And the reason I mention that in context here is because the government has been fooling us all these years, lying to us, fooling us, and they're doing the same thing with Planet X and all of these catastrophic events that may come. And I'll tell
you,
one of the things that's
John, let me ask both Johns, actually, to hang on here. Folks, quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio. More about John Moore and Planet X when we return. Good morning, folks, and welcome back to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you aboard here on this fine Friday morning. Of course, we're glad also that we do have an international listenership here, simply because the message that my guest brings to you today is a global one, and it is, as we said, an immediate one. Please welcome back, of course, John Moore. John, glad to have you.
Thank you. Good morning.
And John in Alabama still on the phone with us. John, welcome back as well.
Yes, well, thank you very much. And I'd like to say that the most important thing that I came away from the seminar with was the fact that reinforced my idea that the sun is the major source of all global warming. And I think if that fact could be spread around the world, once people get a clue to that and get away from this artificial creation of global warming by man or any other means, we would be well on our way to being able to look at these problems. And I wanted to mention that Revelation talks about this. And in Revelation, it says the third angel sounded his trumpet, great star blazing like a torch came from the sky. And the name of the star is Wormwood. And the United States Air Force has a Project Wormwood down in Australia. It's located down there at, they call it the Learmonth Solar Observatory. They constructed this thing in 2003. To monitor asteroids and or strange planets or bodies in, coming into our solar system. And the reason they placed it in Australia was they feel like that these bodies would have a better chance of coming from that direction as far as what they can determine by the positioning of these other planets that they've determined. So have you heard of Project Wormwood?
Yes, Wormwood does exist. It is very secret, and it is down in Australia for a reason, because these objects are have been known for more than 20 years that they'll be coming up from the southern hemisphere. So that's why they placed it down there.
Yeah,
and we have a link to we had a link to their main webpage a while back. I'm not sure if you've ever seen that, John, but I guarantee you if you need to, it is in the archive section on our site.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and you just put Project Wormwood in a search engine, and just along the same line, they sent up a research vehicle, the STRV, back in 1994, and just to show some more of the cover up. And they sent this vehicle up to monitor the effects of the harsh environment, the harsh radiation of outer space. They put this satellite up X number of miles, and it only operated for a year or so before the radiation itself damaged this thing so bad that it's just up there circling around. But they were monitoring the environment, the harsh environment of the radiation as to the effects it would have on man, and instrumentation and equipment once you get outside of the Van Allen belts and the protection of the Earth's atmosphere. So there's just more evidence of collusion and cover-up. And John, I'll hang up now, and thank you so much,
thanks,
and I enjoyed your seminar.
Okay.
John, thank you for the call, and thanks for the validation. I mean, like I said, I knew that John Moore's presentation was going to be so much more powerful in person to be able to see the visuals and have the time and not be constrained by FCC rules and commercial breaks and all that sort of nonsense. So it's great to know somebody who was there that got so much out of it. Thank you for the call. John Moore, if you'd like to respond before we go to another John that's on the phone with us.
let's take the next John. I'm ready.
Let's do it. John in Florida, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I got I'm down here in South Florida, and I got 3 points that I think are interesting and related to this. One, I noticed they just sent something towards an asteroid. I heard it in the news. They're sending some type of...
Yeah, that's a project, if you don't mind. There's a couple that are going on. One is the landing of a probe from the European Space Agency on one of Saturn's moons, I believe. And the other one is the one that we're doing called, I think it's called Deep Impact.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the one where they're trying to sort of blast a hole into an approaching comet to sort of study what's inside and things like that, which I think, again, a couple of key points here. Deep Impact, choosing the name of a movie about an asteroid collision into the planet Earth, maybe not the best choice, but maybe the most accurate. I don't know. Are either of those the ones that you might be referring to, John?
Which John?
John of Florida.
Yes, it's the Deep Impact that they're actually sending. I think they're trying I think they're setting up some kind of an armament just to see if they can deflect it.
That's what I was thinking, yeah, like a test case to see if we have a planetary body or a large comet, asteroid, whatever you want to call it, headed towards Earth, do we have the capability of either deflecting it, destroying it, splitting it, whatever the case may be.
Exactly.
John Moore, what are your thoughts?
Well, I believe it's not a matter of speculation. These scientists know what they're capable of doing in terms of deflecting or destroying a rock. I mean, that's all we're talking about is a big rock. And if they can determine the size of the rock, they can determine how many megatons of explosive material they need to either deflect it or destroy it. So that shouldn't be a matter of speculation. They are very interested, I'm sure, in knowing the composition, what's inside these rocks, for their own reasons. And maybe they'll let us know, maybe they won't.
Wow, that's fascinating. John from Florida, anything else, my
friend?
Yeah,
another thing is the chemtrails. We've been having massive chemtrails down here, and I've actually been videotaping them lately. And I've actually... I was thinking about this in relation to the last few hurricanes we had this year. I'm wondering, and this is just me talking and just being down here immersed in this, is that I'm wondering if one day, because we have FEMA down here, and I don't know if people still realize it, but people are still losing their homes. They still can't. I think we have like something like 100 people a week that are not able to return back to where they used to live or getting put in shelters and stuff still. And I think that we're going to have a hurricane either out of season or too early in the season, you know, right before the season starts or when people aren't ready for it. And that's what I think is going to happen. And I think it's going to develop right off the coast, so we don't see it coming.
That's certainly a possibility. And when I was in Alabama yesterday, they had tornado alerts in January.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's... I don't know if that's ever happened before, but it seems pretty highly unusual to me, tornado alerts in January.
Mm-hmm.
It sure does. Absolutely. We are. We got hit with a tornado just yesterday, John, and there were seven altogether in the U.S. Yesterday, three on Wednesday, and who knows how many will pop up today. So.
Well, tornado season typically doesn't start until early spring at the very earliest. And typically it's more mid to late spring before you start seeing any tornadoes. And here we are in the middle of January, having tornadoes.
In places, very, very strange.
Yeah, you know, in Los Angeles had a tornado, was it more than one the other day?
Yeah, I believe it was more than one, and I do remember that. That's highly unusual.
Isn't it highly unusual for them to ever have tornadoes?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I thought.
And Brazil, I think, also got a tornado, also highly unusual for them. That happened, I want to say early this week. So, John, thank you so much
for
the call, buddy.
Take it
I appreciate it. Let's go to, and we mentioned this is obviously an international issue. Lonnie in Canada giving us a call. Lonnie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Frank. Good morning, Frank. Good morning, John. How you doing?
Good morning.
Frank, I called last week and presented a comment to you about how it seems how most alternative radio people are not talking about how do we collect and organize ourselves after the hammer comes down with this.
Yes.
I sent you an email through your webmaster. I couldn't find your email on your site, so I'm not sure if you received that or not. I'm not really sure how to get it to you exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, on the site, if you look on the page there, it'll say Contact Frank. There should be my phone number here at the studio.
That's on the main page?
It should be, yeah.
Okay, I will send that.
And you can reach me that. Well, you know, you're talking to the right guy, certainly John Moore, an expert on this type of stuff. So.
Yeah, so I'll present the same question.
Yeah.
So obviously we're dealing with two issues here, the New World Order issue and the Planet X issue. And I would imagine the Planet X one is a bigger issue for us to deal with. However, the New World Order thing, my question that I presented to Frank, Mr. Moore, is once the hammer comes down on us here, which it's obviously going to do, for us who have been preparing and figured it out, how do we organize ourselves to be able to help take this down? Because everybody's talking about preparing and what's going on, but not what to do after.
Okay, well, your organization has to be at the level of your family, your friends, and your local community. Attempting to do anything beyond that is a wasted effort, I believe, because that's what you need to concentrate on is first your immediate family, then your friends, and then your local community. That's where the level of organization needs to be, at the county level and below. And attempting to do more than that is beyond the capabilities of most people and would be a waste of time. So I would urge people to do that. Meet their county sheriff, get to know the county officials. If you live in a village or a town, the mayor or the chief of police, these people won't be receptive to any message related to what we're talking about until things get a bit more extreme than what they are now.
Okay.
And at that point, once you have a relationship developed, I wouldn't even mention Planet X. I would just get to know these people on a social level. These elected officials tend to be very outgoing, friendly people because you know, they're politicians and that's their job. So get to know them on a social level, and when things get much worse, which it will have to be before mainstream politicians would be receptive, then you're ready to interact with these people because you already have a working relationship, and you can bring information to the table that they won't have ready access to.
Sounds good. Man, I feel for you traveling around like that. I work in the music industry and tour around up in a different city.
It's work.
It is.
It's work.
It really is.
It is.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, gentlemen.
Hey, Lonnie, make sure you get a hold of me. And also, I'm working on some things for next week that I think you'll find very intriguing as well.
Thank you, Frank.
Okay.
I will resend my email. Thank you.
I look forward to it. Take care, my friend.
All right.
Thank you. John Moore, so many things happening out and about. I'd like to scroll through a few more headlines, if you don't mind.
Please do.
All right, people. This one from the same article that I sourced earlier. Again, this gal in Russia talking about things happening in the U.S. that she's just baffled that the U.S. population cannot comprehend the patterns or even the scope of what's going on. Here are some headlines. November 14th, record cold in Boston. November 27th, record snow in Israel. November 30th, record cold in California. December 1st, record cold in Nevada. December 1st, record heat in Australia. December 2nd, rare winter typhoon in Taiwan. December 2nd, mysterious fog covers 86,800 square miles of China. December 3rd, super typhoon in the Philippines. December 3rd, record heat in Canada. December 5th, record rain in California. December 12th, worst flood in 40 years in Malaysia. December 15th, 50-foot waves hit Hawaii. December 16th, record cold in Florida. December 17th, hurricane-force winds hit California. December 17th, hurricane-force winds hit France. December 19th, record heat in Montana. December 19th, mysterious light brightens Arctic. December 19th, coldest in 50 years in Israel. December 19th, hurricane-force winds in England. December 19th, hurricane-force winds in Germany. December 21st, fog cover northern India. December 21st, hurricane-force winds in Canada. December 21st, hurricane-force winds in Montana. December 23rd, catastrophic storms hit South Africa. December 23rd, hurricane-force winds in Finland. December 23rd, worst storm in Ohio history. December 23rd, big storm shatters records in Kentucky. December 23rd, massive storms hit Canada. Also December 23rd, massive storm spans Sea of Japan. December 24th, severe storm leaves most of Finland without power. Also on the 24th, 2 kilometer thick fog layer covers large areas of India. December 24th, massive storm leaves thousands stranded in Scotland. December 25th, South Florida covered in fog. December 25th, first white Christmas in 86 years for Texas town. December 26th, millions wake up to white Christmas in England. December 28th, Alaska rains 212% above normal. December 28th, heavy rains and floods kill 20 in Iran. December 29th, rare winter heat wave in Midwest U.S. continues. December 30th, United Arab Emirates has first snow in recorded history. January 3rd, lightning causes brush fire in Australia. January 4th, floods, rain devastates South Africa. January 4th, storms leave thousands without power in Australia. January 4th, coldest December in 60 years for New Zealand. January 4th, lightning kills 8 in South Africa. January 4th, lightning kills 27 in India. January 5th, extremely high Alaskan temperatures. January 6th, freezing cold records strand thousands in U.S. January 8th, mighty cyclone approaches Kamchatka. January 8th, storm pounds northern Europe. January 8th, record high temperatures in Russia. January 9th, hurricane force winds in Denmark and Sweden. January 9th, Europe tsunami. January 10th, record rains continue in California. January 10th, strongest storm in 40 years hits Russia. January 11th, record heat, no snow in many parts of Europe. And January 12th, winter storm leaves behind damage worth millions in Finland. And that's in euros, of course, which, as we know, costs more than what it would cost here. So, again, just keeping those ones in mind, folks, and that's not even all. John, as you know, they had an avalanche, a snow avalanche in Las Vegas. Hawaii has snow today. California has been deemed geologically unstable as of this morning. Colorado, massive ice storms. Venice, their canals are drying up. In Utah, there's flooding. Tornadoes in Arkansas. Brazil had a landslide. And, of course, the big ice situation in Antarctica. So I'm going to catch my breath and let you comment and
okay.
You go to break.
Here's something that people need to pay attention to. You, several times, and I lost track, maybe half a dozen or more, you mentioned, quote-unquote, hurricane-force winds.
Yes.
Now, a hurricane is similar to a tornado in that the winds go in a circular direction. The winds are talking about, they were talking about the miles per hour, probably in a range of 200 miles an hour. Those were straight-line winds, not circular winds. And what's happening there, in fact, this happened in the Czech Republic about back in the early part of December, I believe, straight-line winds, it's a jet stream coming down to the surface of the planet and causing total chaos and destruction wherever this happens to happen. It's been happening in these isolated areas all over the planet going on 2 years. We had it happen in eastern Missouri in the spring of 2003. The jet stream coming down briefly to the surface of the planet and causing destruction. So when people hear hurricane force, that kind of puts a familiar word attached to something that's not familiar and has never happened. And that is straight line winds coming from, well, we don't know where it comes from.
Yeah, not from the water, because a lot of these are landlocked areas.
Right. They're landlocked areas. They're not tornadoes. They're not hurricanes. Straight line winds approaching are more than 200 miles an hour. And that appears to be the jet stream coming down to the surface of the planet. Now, you mentioned it during your little discourse there.
whatever you want to call it.
The White Christmas, and it was actually Brownsville, Texas. White Christmas, and that's extreme South Texas, right next to Mexico. At the same time, they were canceling dog sled competitions in Alaska because they didn't have any snow.
That's true.
Or not enough.
Very true. United Arab Emirates, of course, got snow for the first time ever. Last year, or maybe it was just this year, I know Israel had record snowfall, but then last year they had so much snow that the Temple Mount is now sort of deemed structurally unstable, which, as you know, could set off civil war there. Folks, stay with us. More with John Moore when we continue right after this. Good morning, folks, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Will, and welcome back. Of course, very pleased, honored, privileged to have our guest with us here today, spreading the word of truth and cluing you into what's going on so that way you don't have to be afraid. And we certainly love that here on this program. John Moore, welcome back.
Thanks, Frank.
You know, we just left off. We were talking about all these peculiarities as far as the weather goes and just so much going on. Oh, boy.
Where do you begin?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, as far as these things, you're talking about the jet stream and all these different things, the changes. Do you see it getting worse, or will it back off?
I see where what happened 2 weeks ago Sunday was a major turning point in terms of these events, I believe, especially in terms of people being aware of it. Beginning in December of 2003, which is now 13 months ago, I started urging people to look for and watch the following: increased number and severity of earthquakes, increased number and severity of volcanoes, and increased number and severity of very, very bizarre weather-related events. Now, of course, in the 13 months since I started urging people to do that, things have gotten very strange. We've got volcanoes popping their corks all over the planet at the same time. Now, there's routinely several dozen volcanoes always active somewhere on the planet. That's nothing unusual. What's unusual is how many of them are popping to life all at the same time that have been dormant for decades, sometimes centuries. I'm particularly concerned with our Pacific Northwest, especially since my daughter and grandson live up there. Now, the Cascade Mountains up in Oregon and Washington is nothing more than a string of ancient, mostly dormant volcanoes. Now, of course, Mount St. Helens has popped to life. There's another one nearby that's either erupting or about to erupt, and we're seeing a lot of seismic activity all up and down at Cascade Mountain Range. And, of course, there's some fairly densely populated areas there along the coast, not far from those Cascade Mountains.
Right. And Yellowstone, of course, a super volcano, and, you know, the idea, of course, if something like that went, we would probably see ash falling well into the central United States area, and of course, you get enough of these going, and you have to think something like a super volcano or a massive earthquake along the San Andreas would probably trigger some sort of activity that would maybe cause a chain reaction. And they're now saying that they believe earthquakes and volcanoes seem to go off in clusters. Now, if that's the case, boy, that would be a bad thing.
Absolutely. There was just a 6.8 earthquake in the central, the mid-Atlantic ridge that runs down the middle of the Atlantic Ocean just about 2 days ago. for those who don't know, a supervolcano is a earth-changing matter just by itself, and there's not many of them on the planet. I'm not sure of the number, maybe six or eight. The entire Yellowstone Park, plus areas nearby, Yellowstone Park being about 30 by 50 miles, is the caldera of an ancient supervolcano, which by itself could change the climate of the Earth for years because of all the particulate it would put into the atmosphere.
Absolutely. So I've had a couple of friends go down there. Here's some things that have been happening, folks. Last year there was a big stink. They said that a park ranger came out and said that some buffalo had died because of gases or something like that, gas emissions. Well, it turns out in a separate story about the same event, that park ranger was actually the park geologist, and
right.
It would appear that it was the actual 200-plus degree ground temperatures that maybe had something to do with this. So they have closed significant portions of the park, and some places you can't park in anymore. They're having some parking lots, spaces sort of cave in and whatnot. Stay with me, John. Folks, we'll be right back.